Hallelujah. Yes. Go ahead and proclaim that right now. Hallelujah. Healings and relief.
Burdens lifted, oh God.
Peace, Lord. Peace and power, Lord. We declare your kingdom come in this service and also in our lives, God. That's it. Declare it by your praise and by his glory and by your faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord does want to establish his kingdom in our lives and in our experience. In fact, he's the one that said, some will say, lo here or lo there is a kingdom. He said, the kingdom is within you. So in our lives, we can live in this kingdom where there is glory, where there is power, where he is the prince and the king, where his glory is manifested. And that song encourages us to proclaim healing and victory. And that's a part of his kingdom. We are a part of that, and God wants to establish that today. He doesn't need or want to wait another service to declare his kingdom and the great laws, but the great blessings and the great favor that come as being part of his kingdom, subject to him as the king. And he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And I sense here today, I really definitely sense a desire in hearts and lives for the kingdom of God and everything that means to come to pass in your life. Folks, it's important for us to stay ready for the coming of the Lord. To have a very definite, certain belief that he is coming. A sensing in us that will not dull, but that will help us to realize the importance and necessity of serving him in every manner, with our lifestyle, with our attendance to his house, with personal spiritual disciplines. And on the other hand, to avoid any nonchalance about his coming and the things that we need to do to prepare for that coming. We must face the reality. We need God. We need salvation. We need his spirit. We need his word. We need those things every day. And we need those things in every service on the days that we attend. The Apostle Peter perhaps summarized a spiritual nonchalance in 2 Peter chapter 3. In the familiar setting that we could either quote, or when someone starts it, we could follow it and almost quote it verbatim, if not verbatim. He was encountering evidently a spiritual nonchalance in that day. And I would have to say it sounds similar to what we are seeing in this day. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust or their own desires or their own game plan, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? Because they thought that all things were continuing as they were from the beginning. But here's the truth that the writer of Hebrews answers with in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. And it's a reality. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, he will come. He's coming. And on his appointed day, he will not tarry beyond that time. I want to preach to you this morning. This is not a drill. This is not a drill. Lord, I feel your presence here. And I know also what I have heard from you in the preparation of this message.
I confidently but fearfully present it today. For your glory, for the salvation of souls. Thank you for your anointing that is upon your church and upon us all. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. There is a definite message of truth in Scripture about His coming. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. The first message about His coming again in as the church was being ready to be formed, after He had ascended, the very first message was from the angels. Acts 1:11, you men of Galilee, He speaks to the apostles, why are you standing gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. Ever since that time, the church, the ministry of the church, the believers of the church have joined the angels, declaring and preaching that message that He is coming again. That is very definite, and we heard it in Hebrews 10:37. Yet a little while, and He that shall come will come, and He will not tarry. And in the final book of the Bible, it says, from the voice of the Lord, surely, certainly, without a doubt, I come quickly. Amen. Or it shall be so. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There'll be a voice of an archangel. There'll be the sound like the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to come out of those graves or wherever they are and rise first. Then we that are alive and remaining in the church shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And after that, so shall we ever be. No wonder we're looking forward to that time. So shall we ever be with the Lord. In another place, that same writer said, I'm going to show you a mystery. We won't all be asleep in the dead, but we shall all be changed, dead or alive, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and they will be incorruptible. They'll raise to die never again, and we shall be changed. Only if that is a hope in your heart and there's a belief in your soul, would you just give the Lord thanks right now for those promises. Lord, I want to thank you for the promises that you will come. I want to thank you for the promise that you said you are going to come in short order and quickly. I thank you, Lord, for these great hopes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we'll ever be with you, never to return to trouble or toil or trial or sickness or death. Thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for lifting every burden. Thank you for providing us a place where you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank the Lord. As a spiritual leader, I have felt a concern that I must convey to you today, both about the world's view and our view as believers concerning the coming of the Lord. It is evident that to some, both outside and inside the church, that if they believe He is coming, they are not acting like it or ordering their lives in accordance with that belief. To them, it's only a drill. Are Perhaps it is that they do not believe at all in such a thing as the second coming or rapture. It is so easy for spiritual commitments and disciplines to be challenged in our lives for various reasons. One, our default system is a human fleshly system. Does not have in it the same order of priorities that a spiritual order represents or presents. It's also easy because we are flesh, and another word the Bible uses is there's a tendency in us to be carnal. In other words, spirituality goes to some other place on the spectrum, and the things of life and the things of this world are higher and mean more. Our schedule challenges our spiritual commitments and disciplines. And of course, the mainstream values of our society, what the majority are believing and doing, and what everybody else is saying and believing about what you need to do to be saved. All of those challenge our spiritual commitments. I could probably say without a doubt that every one of us have had our spiritual commitments and disciplines, our salvation, challenged in some way. Our human tendency is to do what the flesh thinks and wants, and to deny and reject what God thinks and wants. But this is either a drill to us or it is not a drill. A person either believes it's coming or they don't. And so they feel all of this is just a drill. Each of us either believes he's coming or we do not. It's really just that simple. All of us will live life, make our choices, respond in services like this one according to whether we believe living according to Scripture is important or all of this is not the real thing. It's only a drill. Earlier in their day on Wednesday, February 14, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School had a fire or emergency drill. That was only a drill. But at 2:21, a gunman entered that high school, and what sounded across the system like just another drill became a tragic living reality. Nicholas Cruz was dropped off at the school by an Uber at 2:19 p.m. 2 minutes later, he entered Building 12, triggering the alarm, and began firing within 15 seconds. With that alarm triggered and blaring through the campus, the first 911 call went out. A deputy radioed at 2:23, "Be advised, we have possible what could be firecrackers. I think we have possibly shots fired in the 1200 building. A student in one of the classrooms, this was a few moments after the shooting had occurred and students were exiting the building, some of them at least, but several classrooms were still housed there in their classroom. Students were on Facebook and they were on Twitter, and I witnessed this one account, and I'm wanting you to see this today. Some of you may have seen it already. But it stirred me and moved me very deeply, because in this young classroom, this person posted on Twitter the events as the SWAT team. They were in safety, but they didn't know it. The SWAT team enters to try to help them, protect them, and clear the room. But in the video, there's one little girl who lifts her hands, and she is shaking uncontrollably. I want you just to witness this video. Watch to the middle right.
Put your phones away. away. Put your phones away.
Can you loop it again, Brother Eric? About midway up on the right side of the picture.
Put your phones away. Put your phones away.
I viewed that several times over and over. Not just to, for the sake of entertainment, but that little darling was scared to death, folks. It had dawned upon her this was not a drill. And while other students kept it in a little better composure and control, what we saw on the outside, her hands and her fingers, was probably what was going on inside of most, if not all, of those students. This was not an, it's possible we have shots. I think we have shots. It could be firecracker situation. It was real. It wasn't a drill. That deputy that made that announcement had no way of knowing at that point if it was real or not. He was just trying to do his best. You see, this was not expected, especially at this school and in this neighborhood. It took everyone unaware and took them by surprise. The coming of the Lord is going to do the very same thing. I want to go a little further beyond the coming of the Lord to say not only will that day not be a drill, and hear me carefully, please. Every day, every service you and I spend believing Him and living for Him and living holy and praying, fasting, and worshiping, it counts. Every day counts in your life. Every service, including this one, counts in your life. It's not a drill. This service is not a drill. The presence of God that we feel, not a drill. This living for God is very serious. It's very important. It is of eternal significance. That Florida school shooting was not a drill. And here are the realities of that day. Lives were taken, 17 precious family members and eternal souls. Lives and families were forever changed. Not only were those students' and adults' lives and dreams and plans cut short and cut off, but the lives of the parents of those students and brothers and sisters and spouses and brothers of those killed or who are suffering long or short-term injury were changed and impacted. The school building itself, I heard the other day, is being torn down. Everything was affected. Here's some positive realities and outcomes. There are security upgrades and changes. I would offer today, if we will change from a drill mentality when we come into this house, if we will change from a drill mentality when we wake up every day, there will be more security. Now there is more security at that school and in others because they've gone from a drill mentality to a reality mentality. Our relationship, when we go to a reality mentality, will have depth compared to it's just a drill shallowness. Spiritual disciplines will either be continued or they will be started if they do not exist. And we will be ready and we will stay ready for His coming if we make the shift from it's only a drill. This is what I have done for Sunday after Sunday. Nothing dramatic as far as the Lord's coming or any great judgment has come. And so, that leads me to feel, think, and respond. Today's no different than any other day. It's only a drill. But the Lord wants me to tell you this morning, it's not just a drill. Simply illustrated, and as plain as I can say it, here's what believing He is coming looks like, and here's what not really believing He is coming looks like. Pretending to be apostolic, pretending to worship with words, lip service, and the actions, pretending to be holy and consecrated is saying it's only a drill. And by the way, it's possible to pretend for so long that pretending begins to feel normal. Pretending begins to feel like it's the real thing when it is not at all. We can become used to it's only a drill mentality. We can walk in that so long that just going through the motions, as has been preached many times before, is feeling right and okay for us. The responsibility, the character trait, the spiritual discipline of faithfulness has lost its importance and impact in the mindset of today. Well thought out and plausible sounding and yet flimsy excuses now take the place of faithfulness. I'm talking about things like faithfulness in prayer, reading the Word of God, attendance on Sunday night or Wednesday night or prayer meetings. But folks, this is not a drill. The priorities of prayer and fasting and the reading of the Word of God have lost their rightful priority place. If we pray, okay. If we don't, okay. If we fast, okay. If we don't, okay. If we read the Word every day, okay. If we don't read very often, okay. If we closely engage in church services like this, okay. But if Facebook or the phone or Instagram gets our attention and the spirit, okay. Some of those students were on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but I'm going to tell you, it wasn't out of entertainment that day. They weren't getting the latest news or the most updated info. It wasn't just a drill that day. It was desperation that day. If we live and dress and behave and speak and act godly, okay. But if not, since our culture and the times have changed so much, and since there are so many differing views and values, and in an effort to blend in and not stand out, that's okay. That's the easier route. But this is not a drill. The drill is easier to carry out than the actual important happening. If we feel like we have a reason to hold a grudge or to hold a bitterness or to hold a jealousy or a criticism or a hurt in our hearts, that's okay, because look what's been done to us. Don't worry about forgiveness or clean hearts or right spirits. It's okay. All of that would be okay if this were only a drill. But this is not a drill. The Lord is coming very soon. Someone sent me a video clip of a Southern Baptist minister. And he was teaching in a certain setting. And he spoke about, and he was speaking to those of us, in particular, he was speaking to pastors. But I want you to hear that. When I heard this man, it spoke to my heart and it convicted me and convicted my heart. And I debated on whether or not to show it. But I've got to stand before God with clean hands and a right spirit, and knowing that I have done the duty that God has called for me to do. I want you to hear with me, and I think you know it from Scripture, the responsibilities of a watchman or of a pastor or a spiritual leader, which is not only pastors, but many of us serve as spiritual leaders in our homes and other places. I want you to hear, this is Reverend Paul Washer.
To them and lived out before them. That's what they want. Now, I want to tell you the great sin of the American pastor. And this has got me in a lot of trouble, but it's true. This small group of converted people in that local church, all they want is Jesus. And all they want to do is the right thing. They want purity. They want truth. They want Christ. But the pastor, in order to keep this larger group of unconverted people, he caters to them. So while he is feeding these carnal men and women with carnal things, he is letting the sheep of God starve to death, and he is going to stand before God one day in judgment. Listen, brother, if my wife was going grocery shopping, and when she was going out to her car, some men assailed her, attacked her brutally, and you walked by, and you did not want to get involved because you didn't want to cause trouble. You didn't want to put yourself in harm's way. You just wanted everything to go smooth. After all that was done, I would look for those men to deal with them. But I want you to know this, I'd look for you too. Because you had a chance to stand for my wife, my bride. And out of self-preservation or wrong ideas, you did not do it. You're just as much responsible as those men who attacked her. And that's what's happening all throughout America with pastors. It's the bride of Christ. There are sheep in all these churches, many of them, even churches that seem somewhat heretical in places. You usually find a group of people who truly want Christ. But the leadership is catering to the carnal and letting the bride of Christ starve to death, impoverished. And that is wrong. And there's going to be judgment for it. And the same thing is happening to the youth. I know young people that say, you know, Brother Paul, I listen to you all the time. And I said, well, what about your church? He goes, well, they don't preach this. It's not what the other young people want. And so they give them what they want. I'm starving to death. A little child of God, it would be better than a millstone be tied around your neck than you cause this little one to stumble.
If this was just a drill, and by the way, thank you, Pastor Brad, for teaching and leading our young people according to what God wants, according to His Spirit. And not catering, because believe me, there is pressure everywhere in spiritual leadership and a great amount of pressure in youth leadership. But thank you, Pastor Brad, for feeding the flock that God has put in your care. And young people, I know you love him, and there are times when he will say things that you may not totally agree with in your human thinking, but he is leading you to a place in God. He may call you and say, where were you on Wednesday night? He may talk to you or your parents, but thank you for not catering to carnality. And his goal is not so much to avoid carnality as it is to attain spirituality. Because every one of those Wednesday night youth services are not a drill. If this was just a drill, I could afford to back off on this kind of a message regarding his coming and what we need to do and how we need to live to be ready for his coming. And if it was a drill, I would back off. But this is not a drill. And I cannot afford, and you cannot afford, for your spiritual leader to back up or back down. If it was just a drill, I could filter messages like this through things like, how will the people feel about it? Or who does not want to hear this and hear what they need to do in order to be saved? I could afford to pretend like all of us are taking this seriously. And that there is no one in this room or watching on the web with the mindset, this is just a drill. But I must tell you, that is not the case. And I know that for two reasons. One, from what I observe. And secondly, and more importantly, because of the message the Lord has given to us today. The choices you are making are not drills. They matter. You and I are making real, life-determining, eternal, far-reaching choices. Choices and priorities that really matter. It was a significant choice you made this week as to whether or not to pray. If you chose to pray, that was important and life impacting. Impacting your life now and in the future here and then eternally. If you chose not to pray consistently this week, that was also a significant life impacting choice. It's affecting you now. And it will affect you in your future. It was a significant choice that you made this week whether or not you would read the Word of God. If you chose to read, that was important and life impacting. If you chose not to read, that was in the same way, life impacting. It was a significant choice that you made this week as to whether or not you would live a lifestyle of holiness and godliness according to God's guidelines. It was a significant choice you made this week as to whether or not to be faithful and attend the house of God. This choice is more important than it doesn't matter if I miss services or putting other events or goals or priorities ahead of attending churches. It's important. Service, attention, and engagement. It's a significant choice that you have made in this service to engage, to connect, to pray, to worship, or whatever other spiritual activity that would connect you with the Spirit. It's significant if distractions are getting the best of your attention this morning. Some are treating the church and its disciplines and its services as only a drill, not of high significance. If it's only a drill, we don't treat it significantly. It doesn't matter if we attend or we miss. It doesn't matter how connected or engaged we get in a service. We can come to treat church like a drill, thinking or acting like it's really not for real or it really doesn't count all that much. It doesn't matter whether I hear or respond to the Word of God or to the Spirit or to prayer or in a worship service. But I would just simply say to you that your relationship with God, your spiritual status and well-being, your commitment and service to God is the most important thing in your life. This is either very serious or it's not serious at all. The main reasons people will respond today to a renewed dedication, our repentance, our being baptized, or receiving the Holy Ghost. And I want to open the door of salvation as wide as I can to anybody who has not yet repented and not yet been baptized in Jesus' name or received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you feel like it's more than a drill, you will respond. And God wants your response today. He wants it because he loves you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to be baptized. If it was only a drill as to how you were baptized or if you were baptized, there would be no sense in even wasting any part of a message on it if it wasn't important. But it's more than a drill. On the other hand, if it's only a drill and not real or not all that important, there will not be responses, there will not be change, there will not be focus, there will not be priority. We need God. We need salvation. We need His Spirit. We need His Word. And we need those every day and every service. I'm going to ask you as quietly and as reverently as possible in just a moment to stand and be very prayerful. And this altar is open anytime. I would ask you not to leave or exit the building until there is a time of prayer. Just allowing the Lord to work on our hearts and to touch us. Because we are doing more than going through the motions this morning. There is eternal heaviness in this room today. And while it's an eternal heaviness now, it's going to lead us to the greatest life of freedom. Not only on the other side, but while we live this life here. I want to encourage you, if need be, and you alone know this, and I'm trying to preach beyond any callousness that there might be or any insensitivity such as that pretense that fools us into thinking. But the Lord will do that. His Spirit and His Word will do that. I just say to you today, shake yourself awake out of any kind of spiritual sleep or anesthesia and allow God to stir you to a deeper dedication, to a more than the motions, more than a drill mindset. Move us, Lord, to a keen awareness and alertness to your coming and to a pressing commitment and desire to pray, to help, to witness to others concerning God and this great salvation. And I will tell you what you've already figured out. This altar service will not be a drill. Whether you pray where you are, in the aisle, or here. If it's only a drill, you could afford to walk out. But it's not a drill. With eyes closed, would you stand, please? And places of prayer are open right now, wherever you want to do that, wherever you want to find that. And I encourage you just very openly and seriously, just talk with the Lord who loves you. God, you know the most about us already anyhow. I pray that you would help us, move us to deeper dedications, to realize that it's more than the motions or a drill. God, I pray that you would alert us and make us aware now and today of your soon return and then the importance of our readiness and our impact before you return, God. Lay in our hearts a pressing desire to pray for and help and witness to others. Help us to rebuild altars that have been torn. Help us to make fresh and new sacrifices. If we have been bringing the lame, if we've been bringing the spotted sacrifice, which you said you disdain, I pray that in our hearts we would move to an integrity and an honesty before you